Spindrift sind eine Psychedelic Rockband mit einem Hang zum Cineastischen. Der Sound der Band um Mastermind Kirkpatrick Thomas scheint geradezu aus einem Underground-Western zu stammen. Und tatsächlich waren Spindrift Protagonisten und Musiker im Neo-Spaghetti-Trash-Western The Legend of God's Gun. Eine psychedelische Verneigung vor Meister Morricone. Es folgten Classic-Soundtracks-Alben, die thematisch und musikalisch variierenden Songs mündeten in Videos und Kurzfilme von 9 verschiedenen Regisseuren. Zuletzt veröffentlichte Spindrift das Album Ghost of the West. Alles lange vergessene Songs aus dem Westen, passend performt in verlassenen Geisterstätten auf der Ghost Town Tour, begleitet von einem Filmteam. Kirkpatrick Thomas erklärt das Konzept von Ghost of the West.
Spindrift, Ghost of the West is a very interesting concept because after the band did the movie and the soundtrack for The Legend of God's Gun, The Legend of God's Gun was a homage to spaghetti westerns, and we decided that it might be more interesting to do something that was music that was done by the real West of the United States and the older cowboy songs instead of the Italian versions. So, because that's obviously where we come from, the United States, so that was a big influence already, but we were very interested in those songs by bands like the Sons of the Pioneers, Tex Ritter, Johnny Bond, early Lead Belly, and very early like folk-driven music that was just like old cowboy songs about heroic deeds and songs about, you know, revenge. And then there was also like the Native American elements too that we wanted to get more involved in, the history that you kind of look at, and we wanted to learn more about that. So we ended up beginning to record an album of those songs, and while we were in the studio doing the demos, I decided that it would be a good idea to take the songs on the road, take the songs to their birthplaces, and perform the songs, you know, anywhere we could find that maybe each song had like a different origin where it began, and try to trace it back and figure that out. And we ended up basically touring the Western United States for 5 weeks, and we went to 21 different locations, which were ghost towns across the West. Some of them were also like national parks or national landmarks or deserts or tourist kind of attractions that used to be Western towns. And we ended up mostly playing to nobody for 5 weeks. We documented the trip, and we had our film crew come and, you know, visually document it and also record the music. And when we came back to, you know, from the tour, we started piecing together the music and piecing together the movie, and the music was released last year on TP Records as a soundtrack. And finally, you know, the movie took longer because it was so much footage to work with that you have to like comb through. And I think it's a beautiful film. It's very visual, and it captures the band doing something very interesting concept. And the soundtrack itself is very interesting too, because it takes Spindrift, and instead of spaghetti western, it takes the classic western, the American West. But Spindrift is still a very young kind of psychedelic band, so we just ended up doing this like psychedelic old western kind of record, which is something I don't think people have done yet. So our way of going around to the Wild West and traveling around and making a documentation out of this was a very interesting place to get started with that we haven't been to yet. The origins of how we came to work with the director for this movie, which is Burke Roberts, began with her last album, which was called Classic Soundtracks Volume 1. And on that album, it was a different concept, but it was more like a musical resume where we did 15 songs. Each song was a theme to a movie by a different director. So we had like a Bollywood song, and we had like a film noir song, and we would have like a, you know, a spaghetti western song, all from different movies. Well, Burke Roberts was one of the directors who we did one song for the last album. The name of that song was called The Legend of the Widower Colby Wallace, which was a film that he made for that song. And it was so amazing that I said, yeah, this is the guy for the next job. So he owned a really large ranch in Colorado because he grew up as a cowboy. So the director already had that cowboy mentality and history. We shot a lot of Ghosts of the West on his ranch, and it was just an amazing time. I mean, it was very, very close to my heart going out there and being able to do that. It was also quite dangerous because we were searching for places to go to, which were in the middle of nowhere. We had to travel. We had to ask the locals. I mean, these are places that are not on maps. We had to look through older books to do research on what places could be found. I had to contact one person named John Molhouse, who ran a website called cityofdust.com, and he was a ghost town hunter and a photographer who photographed a lot of ghost towns, and he would send me pictures, give me insight to the history. So he helped us do research, and so it was a lot of research too that we had to do to find these places. So finally, we went out and shot the film. There's a lot of interesting places in there.
Bei der Recherche zu Ghost of the West erfuhren Spindrift die Gründe, warum die Geisterstädte entstanden sind und warum sie dann wieder verlassen wurden.
We had to figure out why they became and why they ended. And mostly it's because of the gold rush or the silver rush. And also it's all because of the rise, you know, of the railroad, or the decline of the railroad, which could have been, you know, Route 66 came and the automobile came and then people stopped taking the trains anymore, which bypassed where the towns went. Towns like Tucumcari, New Mexico, it's a more current ghost town that disappeared because, well, they ended up building the freeway too far away from the town. So now nobody drives through the town anymore. But your other question is, okay, you're looking at everything from people striking it rich with a gold mine, panning for gold, and then the miners come in and they that whole, you know, all the minerals get used up and erased, and then they move on to the next place. But the other side of things could be the lumber. A lot of places were going there for lumber reasons, and then they ended up depleting the forest, so they moved on. So we had to figure out why those certain places were popular.
Auf der Ghost Town Tour spürten Spindrift die besondere Atmosphäre der Geisterstädte.
Generally an eerie and ghostly kind of atmosphere, because you're there alone, and you're there, you really feel like people live there, and at one time it was a noisy place. There was people mining. I mean, you imagine like hammers and machines and everybody rushing in. I mean, these were towns that went from zero to 10,000, 20,000 people, and they were camps and then became towns with brothels, towns with saloons, with banks, with railroads that came in. And then, you know, they were going, because it was a mining town, the mining factory would go 24 hours. So even at night, you hear noise and maybe hear gunshots. So, and then we show up and it's gone. And you kind of think you can hear those things and you know, that they're still there. You know, that's the kind of eerie things that you see. But then you also like see remnants of what used to be, you know, containers, old glasses, and of course the old buildings that are falling apart, you know. Some places they're well, history is like well kept in some places, but other places they're just completely forgotten about. The Western United States is still big enough where there's so many of those places, even though we went out for 5 weeks, we barely touched on everything. There's much more to be seen.
Die meisten Bands bemühen sich um so viel Publikum wie möglich. Spindrift spielten vor keinem Publikum. in Geisterstätten.
Yeah, it was like reverse psychology experiment in one way, I think. You really start thinking a different way when you're going out to accomplish a goal, but the goal's not to be achieved by fame or fortune. Your goal's there for a more historical reason and a more personal reason. For Spindrift, we love the West. We have a love for the music of the West and the feel and the look and the expanse and the history and, you know, for what we love, this was the perfect tour that we could do. So we figured, well, if some bands go out and they play huge concerts and huge shows and big tours with big buses, well, if Spindrift went out, we would do this. And this was our style.
Konzerte in Geisterstätten erfordern von der Band eine andere Herangehensweise. Sie mussten ihren Sound und ihre Spielweise den Gegebenheiten anpassen.
We had to play more acoustic-based material. Our bass player learned how to play the upright bass, so he switched to that, and he learned that just for that, you know, this new album and the tour. Also, our drummer ended up playing more auto harp, and then keyboard player Sasha Valelli, she ended up doing a lot more harmonica and percussive instruments to give that like clippity cloppity kind of sound. You know, you hear like horses go, you know, like that. So, and for me, I had to conduct the band to do more vocal based songs because all the songs were stories and like older Western stories. So all the songs had words, whereas our spaghetti Western music was more, you know, based off like the Ennio Morricone approach, you know, just cinematic. So this time we had to like go back to folk music and lyrical based songs. And then all the songs also had harmonies, you know, big, rich, big sounds, big, large, like cowboy style harmonies. And that was very important for me to achieve with the band. And we had to expand a lot in our sound and make sure that we could do everything right. Because some of my favorite older albums are like the Sons of the Pioneers or Johnny Western, when they have these heroic vocals, but then in the background vocals are very rich and have layers. So we wanted to achieve that sound and make you feel like you were in the West also at the same time.
Die Aufnahmen in den Ghost Towns sind quasi Field Recordings. Das klingt anders als im Studio und muss für den Film und das Album passen.
It was recorded in the Ghost Towns and then we brought the tracks back to the studios and cleaned them up, added a little bit. Some we added, some we didn't, but we generally, this you can see in the movie, and when you watch the movie, it's really cool how the director would take our studio sound and he'd blend it in with the field sound, the live sound, and then blend it back out. And he directed us, he said, every time you do the song, make sure you do them at this exact tempo every time. So that like when I blend it in and out, when we put things together, we can keep it the same all the time. So we had to do it like that all the time. And our drummer, he's got a really good sense of tempo, so he was able to make sure that all the songs kept the same. And so he did a really good job at that. You can see it in the movie. And those are some of my favorite parts in the film when we go in and out of different, okay, here we are sounding natural in the environment, and then here we are sounding in the studio.
Die alten Songs aus dem Westen erzählen alle Geschichten von besonderen Begebenheiten und Charakteren.
The stories and the characters, I mean, there's a song called Buffalo Dream. That was an old Tex Ritter song. The original version that he did, it was all about Native American Indians. That's the first song on the soundtrack, is Buffalo Dream. And the original version is really hard to listen to. It's just him banging on a piano. It's like, "Hi, you man, dream of buffalo!" And you can barely tell what he's saying. So we had to like basically figure out what he was saying. And we ended up like adapting that song to a scene where Sasha is in the Sonoran Desert and she's being chased by a buffalo around the desert in a weird way. So we took that, you know, for that song. For another song like a classic Navajo trail. We ended up, you know, basically showing some different trails that were all around. Gunfighter, we basically adapted that from a Johnny Western song, which is just a, you know, a story about a gunfighter that comes into town and he's hired as a bounty hunter, or basically, and that's his job. And so that we basically related all the songs to all the different styles going on and characters.
Ghost of the West ist natürlich kein Western und auch kein Musikfilm im herkömmlichen Sinne.
It's very ambiguous and surrealistic, kind of like an experimental piece. The only time we say where everything is in the opening credits. You have one big list of shot on location at all these places. Otherwise, the film's very abstract. The director wanted to keep it very kind of psychedelic, and I guess psychedelic's a big word too to put in with this, but he wanted to keep the imagination going, and so he didn't want to actually like always say where everything was, and he wanted to keep a flow and everything like that, but it's very done in an abstract kind of way.
Psychedelic ist ein großes Wort. Kirkpatrick Thomas hat sein eigenes Verständnis davon.
I think psychedelia is achieved by, you know, the best way is obviously through taking LSD, I think, like, you know, chemicals to alter the mind. Obviously, you can achieve a psychedelic experience through, you know, other things. But to me, the original way that we kind of did that was through, like, LSD. You know, I think once you've kind of, like, gone to that place enough times, you know, you don't have to go there anymore, but you take those ideas of how you can bend time and space and feeling with color and sound and everything inside each other and make it into, you know, what your music can project out there. And you can blend it in with anything, really, and kind of give it like a new feel. But listening to bands like The Doors, you know, My Bloody Valentine, you know, and then you listen to music like Ennio Morricone or Sons of the Pioneers, and you mix all that together, and I guess somehow you end up with Spindrift.
Das musikalische Konzept von Spindrift startete 1992 auf der Grundlage von zwei inspirierenden Songs.
I think Riders on the Storm is a very influential song for me. It's kind of like Ghost Riders in the Sky. Like Riders on the Storm, Ghost Riders in the Sky, sort of similar titles. And both of those songs, I think if you blend those two songs together, that was the vision I had for what Spindrift should sound like. And that's what we've been working to achieve. I think we've pretty much nailed it by now. You know, we've got a little bit farther to go with some newer ideas, but the cool thing is that Spindrift is also a cinematically oriented band because it's like that all began when I started listening to more Ennio Morricone and, you know, Sergio Leone films. But and when I moved from the East Coast to the West Coast back in 2002, when we relocated to Los Angeles, that's when we became more involved with cinema and doing soundtracks. I think The Doors were a very kind of cinematic band in some ways. They had a lot of different styles, but you know, they were good at projecting their image as they were playing. And as is, you know, Sergio Leone and Ennio Morricone, very good at like projecting the image, but the music was so important with the image and with the visuals. And I always wanted to write music that makes you feel like you're in another time and another place, and that you're, when you put your headphones on, you're driving, you know, along, you kind of get transported, you know, and psychedelia is one way to take you there, you know. So blending those things in all just seems to make sense to me.
Die Palette der Einflüsse von Spindrift hat sich im Laufe der Jahre extrem erweitert. Unter anderem durch die Arbeit mit verschiedenen Regisseuren.
A lot of influence lately will be approached by a director to do a piece for a movie. And so lately since we've been more and busier with doing soundtracks, now we're approached by a director and he says, I need a song that appeals to this certain scene, giving tension or a little bit of romanticism or some kind of action scene, being chased by a car or something, you know, car chase, orgy in the desert, who knows what could be happening in these different scenes. And so we've been writing more songs based on certain movie scenes. Otherwise, I think some of our other influences, newer influences, have been through more Spanish-oriented styles. We've been listening to a lot of bullfighting music, which is the, you know, like Spanish nationalist kind of stuff, like Los Romeros, like bullfighting style and mariachi kind of music. Being from Los Angeles, you know, you can go down to Tijuana and go down to Mexico a lot, and so you can capture a lot of that, and obviously you can capture a lot of that in Spain as well. So it's always kind of exciting whenever we tour Spain, because then we sort of get to see a little bit of that. And also, it's also exciting when we get to tour in Italy because of the spaghetti western style. What's really interesting about this tour is at the end of the tour, I'm going to southern Spain. I'm going to Almeria to present our movie at the Almeria and Western Film Festival. But we're going to show the movie in the same western town that was built for all the spaghetti westerns. So it's like a full circle of... We're going all the way because we went spaghetti western and then we went to the American West, and now I'm going back to the spaghetti western town to show the movie that we shot in the American West. So they're very excited and everyone's very excited to do it.
Kirkpatrick Thomas ist fasziniert von scheinbar lebensfeindlicher Natur. Die Wüste ist eine stete Inspirationsquelle.
I'm very interested in like desolate and hostile environments and survivalism. How to survive with nothing, or I'm very interested in places that require extreme experience and exploration of like places that are hard to reach. That was another reason for doing the Ghost Town tour, because I have a tendency to be more of an adventurist and an escapist. So I think those are also parts of my own inspiration for creating things.
Bei der Ghost Town Tour erlebten Spindrift einige bizarre und auch gefährliche Situationen.
There's always snakes and tarantulas and scorpions. You find in ants. Ants are actually, they're pretty deadly because they sting pretty bad in the West. They're extremely angry because it's so hot. Any insect, when it gets hot, they get angry and they get fast and they just bite. They don't care. I think at one point we were driving at night through Nevada. We felt like we saw something flying in the sky first. We couldn't, it was a disc, like a black disc flew by the van. We were like, what is that? And we figured we were close to Area 51. And then 5 minutes later, before we came to the town called Ely, Nevada's small, weird little town, we hit a giant elk that was standing in the middle of the road. And it didn't move. It just stood there. And so we hit a giant elk, and that messed up the van pretty good. Shattered the windows, put a big dent in the side. That was one thing. And then there was another place close to Death Valley in Belmont, the ghost town called Belmont, Nevada. It looked like an old courthouse in this ghost town. They were doing construction on the courthouse, fortunately, when we showed up. So we asked, you know, can we go in and do some recording? And we went inside, and there's all these writings on the walls. People, hippies, old hippies that had stayed there and signed their names and everything. So I guess at one point it was like the ghost town was like a hippie commune. You know, people got to escape Los Angeles or wherever and go live in the middle of nowhere. And we found Charles Manson's signature on the wall. So that's pretty good. That's in the movie. Just some other interesting parts were just the feeling that you get when you're like in a town where nothing's around. And there was one place where a really messed up looking room, things on the floor, just trash everywhere. And then, you know, we're in the middle of the desert, but you know, you look in the middle of the room and there's a pair of basically woman's slippers like a stripper would wear. That was kind of scary as well. You know, you see like ladies' high heels in the middle of the ghost town, just sitting there, shiny. It was like really shiny, you know. They couldn't miss it. It had its moments of bizarre experiences.
Die Wahrnehmung von Ghost of the West könnte in Europa und den USA ganz unterschiedlich ausfallen.
The point of view from the Europeans would be looked at as how well is the film made? Does it flow? Does it look good? Does it get the idea across? But as far as from the standpoint of the Americans to review it, I think it's much more personal because this is their history that we're talking about and these are the songs that are historical. So in our interpretations of those historical songs could either make someone very happy or actually upset some people. I guess in some ways it has a very political stance, but I don't know what that stance is yet. I think the only main thing is that we're addressing it now, saying this is the way the American West looks in the present, the way it looked in the past, and maybe what it could be in the future. So it kind of gives an idea on the whole past, present, future of the American West. And it's a statement socially of what it is. I think we took to great lengths to document and record these songs and make them available for people to experience. And that's the most important thing, mm-hmm. is that if we hadn't done this, then no one would see this, no one would hear this. And to keep it alive is very important as well, because it's historical.
The Legend of God's Gun war Spindrifts erster Film, ein trashiger Spaghetti-Western, der am Anfang außer dem Soundtrack so nicht geplant war.
Ghost of the West, luckily, we only had to be ourselves and be performers. But in The Legend of God's Gun, I played the bandito El Sobero. It's just like the evil bandito. That was kind of a experiment in filmmaking, or how not to make a movie. Yeah, it's a very low budget Western. I mean, at the time, our passion and the romance that we felt for the spaghetti Western was so big that we decided we have to make this soundtrack. And then we said, oh, it would be a lot of fun also to go out and film these gunfights out at the Western towns. And so we found Mike Bruce, who's the director for those, and we ended up going out, and he was like, oh, I think maybe we could make a short film. He's like, okay, let's go out and shoot some more. He's like, maybe we can make a feature film. And we're like, okay, but we never knew how far we were going with that. So it was like 4 years later, we finally had The Legend of God's Gun movie come out, and we didn't even realize that we were making a movie at the time. With Ghost of the West, obviously, I had learned so much working on previous films that we could approach it the correct way. We scored another movie called Dust Up that was directed by Ward Roberts, and that was our first chance to go into the studio and play music to the finished picture.
In The Legend of God's Gun, gibt es den Song Conversation with a Gun.
What's interesting about that song is that it's an old song by Johnny Bond. I changed the words up a little bit and we changed the music. In the movie, it's my character is having a romance with his, speaking with his gun, talking to his gun. That's an old classic song. In one way, that was one of the songs that started what Ghosts of the West would be. And so like that was actually the precursor to Ghosts of the West, was that section in The Legend of God's Gun where we do Conversation with a Gun.